Hello again, I'm Drew Wilder. It is your business, business talk, straight talk, talking with Stan Sadlak as we do every weekend at this exact time, and sponsored by Steeplechase Advisors, who have been helping businesses just like yours in the Hartford area for so many years. I can't even count it. I don't have my abacus with me today, but they help with the business taxes, real estate, asset protection, business succession, even personnel problems, and so much more. And Stan, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Drew. I'm good. I was just, when you were talking, I was just thinking of the Lone Ranger. Hi-ho, Silver, Kimosabi.
Yeah, we remember that. Anyone under, 60? They probably don't know what that is.
Right. So, you know, we were talking about the transition. So our key guy in this room right now, Matthew, was talking about the transition that we made in our society, and he said it in a different way. He talked about that he was an analog child, and today the kids are digital children.
Exactly.
And I thought that was a great description, because when I was younger, I was really into photography, and I had my 35 millimeter camera. I developed my own film. I had a dark room, and you know, I used to use the one in school all the time. And that was the biggest transition. I was very upset when all my equipment became obsolete and I now had to go digital, only to find that, you know, now you just download it onto the computer and you're
right. You used to have to like go to the store and wait a week or a week and a half to get the film back. And I mean, you look at Kodak, just did a show on feast or famine. Talk about famine. I mean, how they missed the boat on that. I mean, they just totally, they could have gone into digital, but they didn't.
So, Drew, the theme of your show today is what do you do with your profits?
Right. What do you do with if there are any, after all these shows about all the challenges a business has?
Well, what should Kodak have done? There's your example right there. Perfect example.
Right. We always talk about how you have to be like a step ahead, think out of the box, look at the unexpected. And they knew it was happening. They just didn't think it was going to be a big thing.
They probably went to Florida for 3 months to relax.
Why would anyone do that?
I don't know, but they get fat, happy, and lazy. So they, you know, they really had a responsibility to the shareholders and to look at different alternatives.
Right. Why didn't they listen to the market? They were so on the high cloud nine, thinking everything is great.
It obviously had to do with the management and how focused they were and stubborn they were. I mean, we've gone through the similar circumstances with AI we were talking about earlier, and you know, the head of AI got fired and then he got brought back, and what, you know, why does that happen at times, and what directions are people going in? And what influence do the employees have on that? You mentioned that, you know, 700 employees threatened
to quit. Out of 770. But that's incredible loyalty.
Right.
To have that many people want to leave when the head guy leaves?
Right. But that doesn't necessarily mean that was the right thing to do.
No, right. Exactly. But they rehired him. Would they have rehired him if no one was going to leave? Probably not.
I don't know.
And no one knows why he had gotten fired.
I mean, take a look at what's going on with X, formerly known as Twitter.
Oh, yeah, that's a nightmare.
This is getting crazy.
Yeah, that is a nightmare.
So, you know, one of the things I thought of, and I was pondering this whole thing the other day, I think the biggest change you're going to see over the next half dozen years, and I think this is related to what to do with the profits, I think that you're going to see a regulation of the social media take place.
I was just going to say, that really has changed everything.
Yeah, so we've seen that playing field become level, unlevel, uphill, downhill, and I just think it's inevitable that we're going to move closer to you know, these politicians in Washington like control.
Yep.
And
they just
can't wait to get their arms around these entities, you know, and I'm sure TikTok will disappear. I think that they keep framing that in such a way that they say that all the young people get 100% of their news from TikTok.
Right. Right.
And, you know, I don't know whether that's true or not true, but it's all going to get squeezed in. And Elon Musk, you know, he what he should do is just own the company and shut up.
Right, exactly.
Why would you buy a company?
And, why do you open your mouth?
Yeah, but look, so many companies, we've talked about this, have gotten politically behind causes that alienate half their customers. Why would they do that?
I mean, why do some of these people say what they do? Like, latest one is Susan Sarandon saying, right, you know, stupid things. And, yeah, you know, really, people, if you're an artist,
just keep your mouth shut, right?
Just do your job.
But that's the same thing as a business taking a political stand. Why would an actress, and now she's gone from being a spokesperson for certain things? I mean, why would you? There's no upside.
Look at Mike the Pillow Guy. The same thing. You know, he you know, he had a successful business, and, you know, they just alienate everybody.
Yeah, he's relegated to be banned. I mean, it's
right. I mean, you just take a look at some of these very popular young singers, and you know inevitably they will get themselves into trouble. Right. They will take a stand, whether it's very progressive or very conservative, and really they should just, you know, sing. Don't get involved.
Actresses, singers, I mean, actors, they've, I think, always been doing that. It's the businesses that never used to get involved in causes and politically. And they, talking about TikTok, they say that that is a major cause for so many people protesting against Israel, not looking at what actually happened.
Right. If you're a small business today, you know, you have to run your business. You have to listen to everybody. You have to guide people as to what to do. But you really should, you need to stay away from politics and religion.
Right.
You really should not do that. I grew up saying, listen, in business, don't discuss politics and religion. I mean, that gets families into fights. You know, and you can live with not talking to your brother or sister for the next 40 years,
right,
but you can't live with not talking to your employees for the next 40 years.
Right.
I mean, you're there to make money. So, you know, what you do afterwards, you know, and how you operate, you know, do you show off your successes or do you just stay under the radar? I mean, you know, these are very difficult questions that people have to evaluate. And really, the old school, you know, they would stay under the radar. You know, we call it the old money.
Hmm.
They would live modestly. They would take their profits and roll them back into the business by diversifying. You know, they wouldn't go out and, you know, buy very expensive cars,
right,
you know, show off at the, you know, local country clubs in an ostentatious manner.
Yep.
They would just know how to stay under the radar, right, and identify with the, you know, the average Joe. So, you know, what's happening is the middle class is disappearing. Mm-hmm. We're finding people are just much more ostentatious. And you find that more, if you go to Florida, you know, down south, mm-hmm, you'll find people are much more flamboyant. And the whole future of the country is and will continue to be in the south. I mean, as the baby boomers, as we were talking earlier, get older, they're all going down south.
That's,
and even though the real estate's more expensive.
Right. The climate's beautiful.
Well, they go down there and you'll see that's where the health care will continue. That's where they're going to need more health care workers, which are the immigrants coming in to take care of the older people.
Yeah.
And you know, you're an old man.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you need to be taken care of, you want attention. What happens to people as they age, they lose their patience.
Yeah, why is that?
They become much more agitated.
I think you've been through more things and then. Yeah, I mean, the world has changed. All the technology was supposed to make things easier, but it's just made things more difficult because there's more to do, more challenges, more things happening. There it is right now. Someone's texting us. And I mean, listeners texting us during our show. You have listeners emailing us. Do they send up smoke signals? I mean, phone calls, regular phone lines, landlines, cell numbers. I mean, there's so many different ways that people get in touch with you. It just makes things, if you're going to respond to your customers, how do you deal with everything else with the time involved?
Well, you know, that's an interesting open-ended question because we talk about communication.
Mm-hmm.
And I find today most younger people anyway communicate by text messaging.
Yeah, they don't pick up the phone. Right?
Drives me crazy. So if you take a look at younger people, fewer and fewer people are
are getting married or even dating mm-hmm. or having an opportunity to meet other people. I see this with my own kids, you know, where they, you know, they basically, because of their experience with COVID, and, you know, they're, I hate to say, many times hermits. You know, they communicate text messaging with their friends. You know, they hang out at home and don't really like to, you know, do too much partying because, mm-hmm. you know, they're afraid of having to cover their glass to yeah. who might slip something into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you yeah. know, the depth of the relationships tend to be much more marginal. And, you know, I have one of my older kids, they met their spouse on Match.com.
Exactly.
You know, 15
that's where people,
years ago.
That's where my daughter met her boyfriend. That's just very common. But there's so much more room for misinterpretation when you're not picking up the phone.
Well, I agree, and I think the communication, you know, for example, if a business wants to hire a receptionist or somebody to answer the phone, mm-hmm. they've got to teach them how to answer the phone because the kids don't know.
Right.
I mean, people don't know. You know, I hire an intern all the time from a community college, mm-hmm. and I have to teach them how to answer the phone because they don't know. But somebody's got to do that.
Yeah.
And I tend to be brutal with my interns because mm-hmm. I tell them, you know, you need to learn certain social skills to implement what you've learned in school.
Right. You're doing them
and,
a favor.
And I'm, you know, so I'm going to show you and I'm going to push you a little hard, and you need to learn because, you know, you're not only are you an intern, but you're paid. Intern, so right. you're pretty lucky that I let you do homework yeah. while you're sitting at the desk.
Right, but you're doing them a real favor because that's the way the world operates.
Right, but you know, we're stewards of the future. We don't understand that, and that's really lacking in today's society. I mean, when you do things, it's not because you want to do it, but you need to train the next generation. And
training.
That's missing. That's missing.
Training is a key, yeah. right? Exactly. So,
and how do you create a forum for people to meet other people? I mean, if you want to go out and meet people, so you have a son, you have a daughter, and how do they meet people? I mean, it is very. I did not realize how challenging that is for somebody between 18 and 45 to meet people.
Right. Yeah, they just don't know. The vehicles aren't there. I don't see a lot of younger people at the Chamber of Commerce meetings.
So we got Matthew over here kind of, you know, wanting to say something, wanting to speak up about how do you meet people. And he's just cringing there because he wants to speak up, but he knows he shouldn't. So, okay, Matthew, say your words.
Go ahead. There's nowhere for these kids to meet anybody because they don't go anywhere. And that's why you see, and this is a little inappropriate, but that's why you see a lot of these younger girls with a lot of the older gentlemen. These guys that own bars, these guys that have companies, these guys that got a little money to spend around, because one, they know how to talk to women, they know how to be funny, they know how to engage, they know how to make eye contact. Someone under 25, they don't know what the heck's going on most of the time. They don't know how to be funny. They know what's funny because they share funny things on their phone, but a one-on-one conversation, picking up the phone, no one does that anymore, yeah. And I know it's a little off topic, but that's why you see a lot of these younger girls going with older guys. It's a very big trend right now because these guys have stories. They have things that they've done right. in their lives. They have things that are interesting and that they can talk about. And these dudes, they don't have anything. They don't have anything, Stan. They've done nothing in this life. They shared funny videos on the internet and they've played video games with their friends, and that's their social interaction.
And so, maybe that's why they're sitting on the sidelines not working.
Well, exactly. So they go to work and they find they don't like their work, so they quit and they don't really have any depth of a goal. Okay.
They're applauded for quitting by their friends. Oh, you stuck it to the man. You did this, you did that. And they're trying to create a better work environment when really they've changed nothing. They've changed no culture. They've done nothing. They've quit. They've gotten their round of applause from their friends, and that's what fills their heart. Unfortunately, mommy and daddy are filling their cupboards.
Right, exactly.
So,
and more.
So as a business owner, and I see this process going on, how is this going to change in our society? I mean, what's going to be the catalyst to promote a change to the positive? Or do we just skip over this generation and go on to the
next?
What's
the triggering event that gets those?
Okay, unfortunately, I do think that's it. I think these children of these quote-unquote loser of parents are going to realize they don't want to live that way, and they're the ones that are going to be doing the trades. They're the ones that are going to be working on the next mechanical things and things like that. The stuff that's not created by AI, we're still going to need someone to fix our car. Yeah. We're still going to need a plumber. There's no robot that's going to be able to come through and diagnose a problem and fix it. There might be technology with it that helps. But yeah, man, I think that some of these kids are going to grow up and realize their parents are losers, and they're going to go work hard. And
maybe it'll get him to work harder
than that. I think it will be. Unfortunately, I don't think either of you will see that.
No.
I think it's a long way away.
They'll work harder than they ever thought, but of course,
but
we
you
won't
know
be
that may happen
it.
More yeah. quickly than you think. I realize you say that, and I tend to agree with you. But today, if you take a look, you know, when I was younger, we studied the economy.
Yeah.
It would always kind of go ups and downs, like the ebb and flow of the tides were fairly predictable. But what I've seen over the last 30 years is more of a sporadic up and down, up and down, up and down. You know, the prices of houses go up, and then 2 years later, they drop way down. Then they go, we have another run up, then another run down. We're always in slow and steady.
Mm-hmm.
So we could see a situation where the climate for business becomes so challenging that may change more quickly. I think what's going to be interesting to observe are all these illegal immigrants coming in. I mean, it's a problem now, and I think it'll continue to be a problem. But somehow, some way, you know, they may have an impact here that might force these kids to want to go to work. I don't know. Or maybe, you know, they'll go to work supporting these kids, you know, and their parents. It's a good question to ponder. And you could be right. Could be, you know, not in our lifetimes, but on the other hand, it may be.
Could be a lot faster.
I mean, I have, you know, I look at my younger kids and I say, you know, if you're going to go into a career, you really should pursue the healthcare field.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter where you are in that spectrum, but that's definitely going
true.
To be the future for your lifetime. Or building submarines and electric boat. I talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
Right under our noses, you can become a welder, make six figures, and live, you know, near your parents.
Right.
Electric boat hiring right now.
Hey, there you go. People want the glamorous jobs. My daughter, PT, I mean, she had three job offers within like 2 weeks.
Yeah, that, you know, there's big future in PT. No question.
Really,
it will continue.
And now she's busier than ever. She's like putting in 10 hours, 11-hour days when it was only supposed to be 8 hours.
The other thing, interesting thing is you can't find a doctor anymore. If you take a look, most all of the new physicians are APRNs.
Yeah.
You know, what do you call, you know, physician assistants? Everywhere you go, my friend told me this morning his new doctor is a physician assistant. My wife's new doctor is a physician assistant.
And why is that? Regulations?
I don't know. I think there's just such a shortage. I mean, there's just such a shortage of physicians.
I think if you talk to doctors, they'll tell you, like, the paperwork is enormous. Who would they chisel them down with the way insurance is? And the paperwork they have to go through with regulations.
There you go, the regulation aspect. Again, I'm sure that's part of it, but that's why they won't open a practice. They'll join a practice that has a business office to handle all that.
Yep. I wonder if there are immigrations now with the political election coming up. What happens if they can find the illegal immigrants, they are forced out of the country.
Right.
If they can find them, does that change everything back to the way it was? I guess we'll find out.
We don't know. We're facing a crisis right here with these electric cars in Connecticut and across the nation. And I'm going to be very curious to see what happens in the next 2 years. If you're going to have your tractor trailers being converted to electric batteries, forget it. You might as well store enough food for 6 months because they'll never reach their destination.
Yeah, talk about supply issues now. It'll be 10 times worse.
The biggest thing I get a kick out of is, you know, I really enjoy boating. And now, you know, they're developing these electric boats.
Right.
So what happens when a salt water hits an electric battery? Boom, you have a fire.
Right.
Okay, the salt water just makes it implode. Well, what if you're out on the water and there's a leak and it goes into the batteries and boom, your boat's going to blow
up. The politicians that make the laws, they don't experience. Yeah, they just don't. They're living in their little glass bubble. Interesting. So talking about what to do with the profits of a business, I'm thinking there are very few, probably a lot more businesses that don't have a lot of profits than do with everything that we're talking about. And what I've been told by businesses, of course, a lot of businesses will tell me things are tough when they're not.
But, you know, it's very interesting today. So I think that a lot of businesses are not doing well. But I think an equal number of businesses are doing very, very well. And why are some businesses being very successful and other ones just struggling?
Yeah, why?
I think it goes back to my challenges that I mentioned earlier.
Yep.
It goes to finding the right people, having the right product mix, having the quality control. And these particular people have a niche that's very necessary for, you know, the products in their industry. And why they are in that niche, they got into it a long time ago.
Right. You got to have foresight, as you've talked about.
Be
a step ahead.
I mean, and you take a look at a business that does everything wrong, and that is Disney. I mean, if you take a look at everything you need to do wrong, you pick Disney.
Right.
If you want to pick a politician that does everything wrong that they touch, it's Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever, they do the wrong thing. There's just a total lack of common sense.
Well, I think they have an agenda, too. So we know it's wrong.
Well, fine. They're going to go out of business and they're going to get considered the worst president in our history.
Right.
I mean, he's really not the president. It's really Barack Obama.
Oh, exactly.
And, you know, he's leading the way. And I think the greatest danger they've done for this country is identity politics.
No.
And it will probably continue to get worse.
Yeah, thinking of groups, not people, individuals.
Right.
But, I don't think they care, because I think power is just such a dangerous thing. When you get into politics, not everyone, but so many politicians, when they get into politics, the power with the ego, Biden probably doesn't even stop and think about the ramifications of what he's doing. He's just got this agenda that he's being controlled by and not able to say no.
So, Drew, I know you're always asking me, is this a good time to get into business? Is this a bad time to get into business? And I'm always kind of slanting towards probably not the best of times to get into business.
Right.
But if I don't think that should be a carte blanche answer, because it's probably not a great time to become an underwriter at an insurance company. Mm-hmm. But if you want to become a welder, and whether you're on your own or you're at Electric Boat, you're going to do very, very well, because we need that work done.
Right. So you look at the marketplace, what the demand is,
right,
and the supply.
I mean, look at the landscaping business since we were kids.
Oh.
We talk about that all the time. I mean, today, landscaping is a big business. And you know what's really going to become big in Hartford? Snow plowing, because everyone's getting out of snow plowing.
Right.
I mean, I really thought about I should go back into the property management business and do plowing. I mean, an average snow plow pickup truck is $80,000, $10,000 for a plow, $8,000 for a sander, a spreader.
Wow. Yeah.
And, easily with a business, you'll get paid $15,000 to $20,000 a year to do their parking lot.
Right, so you can make that up in five jobs.
Easily. It's a good business. I mean, no different than people who build pools. They make a lot of money during the summer. They do very well. But nobody wants to do snow plowing anymore because they're all getting sued.
Right. Well, that's a whole other show. There's another show for us. It's like,
hey, do you know why so many doctors are moving to Texas? I did not know this till the other day.
Why Texas?
Because they have laws on the books down there that you can't sue the doctors.
Is that right? Texas does?
Right. So we here we have malpractice claims and lawsuits against. You go to Texas and they're protected.
I did not know that.
I did not know that either, because my son's roommate from college is a physician and he moved to Austin, Texas. And I have another client told me, well, they're all moving down there because they're protected.
Jeez. Every day is a school day. But like you said, when no one wants to do snow plowing, that's when you get in. You got to find that niche.
Right.
So whenever it's kind of like buying a stock, You don't buy when it's high. You buy when everyone else is selling.
Right. So you get a little guy like me who, as you know, when I have 200 parking spaces, I can't find anybody to plow my properties. Wow. So I actually took a guy who wants to plow and set him up in business to do the plowing. And he's doing my lots, and he got another contract with a healthcare place, and he's out there. So he's starting out, and hopefully, knock on wood, he'll do okay. But I'm guiding him. I'm helping him. I don't own any piece of the action. But, yeah. He's a young guy, and I would like to see him succeed.
Yeah, so you thought out of the box instead of doing it yourself.
Yeah, but, I do that all the time. I like coaching. I like helping people. Right. I'm always hiring a homeless guy or hiring a—
You have done that. I mean, that's really great stuff. So Steeplechase Advisors— helping businesses in the Hartford area for so many years, business taxes, real estate, asset protection, business succession, even personnel problems. I mean, and you're offering what, a no-fee consultation, Stan?
Sure. Just give me a call, and I'd be happy to chat with you. I have a rule that is, I don't ever fire anybody. Mm-hmm. People fire themselves.
Do they do the wrong thing?
They always do
over
the wrong
and over
thing.
And over, probably.
And over and over.
So what number do they call
860-524-3408.
And there's an email, too?
Oh, sure. You can email me either stan@stsworld.net or stan@stsamerica.
So 860-524-3408 or stan@stsamerica.com.
Yeah.
Interesting. So it's kind of like a no-brainer, right? A coaching session for your business. You've been helping so many businesses out for so many years, and there's no obligation. So you just have to see if there's a good match there.
Be prepared, as we say.
Be prepared. And people have been calling you on the weekend, so if you don't call back today, Monday, Stan will be back in touch with you. He will not call collect either. 86, I don't even think they have collect calls anymore. But
I was wondering about that the other day.
Do they even have an operator anymore?
Everybody calls from their cell phone, so it's just, you don't have to do a collect call or whatever.
Yeah, and there's no operator. Someone just sitting there, and I don't know where they were sitting.
I remember when I had an AT&T calling card, and I would have to, put in the numbers and make the calls. And
find the phone booth. That worked.
That's right. $10 later.
That's a whole other thing. 860-524-3408. Stan Sadlak, sponsored by Steeplechase Advisors. I'm Drew Wilder. We do it every weekend at this time. We get away with it, which is even more amazing. And we thank you so much for listening, and have a great weekend. You've